take your copy of God's Word and find Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. While you're doing so, let me take a moment of personal privilege to express my gratitude and Kim's gratitude for the extraordinary outpouring of love and kindness and prayers and support for us. I feel like I've been hugged by all of you. And I'm deeply grateful and humbled to be your pastor. I feel like I need to even mail me out a tip. Our mailbox has just been filled day after day with cards and letters, gifts. And Kim hasn't cooked enough for almost a month. You just keep bringing food, and we keep eating it, letting out loops in my belt. But it's just been extraordinary to be the recipient of your kindness to us, and most important, your prayers. This is a journey I never expected to travel. I've had very little health issues, and never thought I'd have cancer. And praise God, I don't have cancer. Just testify to the grace of God. And when Dr. Fuller told us 10 weeks ago that my diagnosis was cancer, God flooded my heart with grace and peace, but not had any fear. And I was reminded what Paul told the Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I thought, how can I lose? I either go see Jesus or I don't. We who know and love the Lord Jesus, we have the presence of the Spirit of God to see us through every trial. And while we long for His appearing until He comes or calls us home, it's our responsibility to continue to live for His glory and declare His gospel. But thank you seems so inanimate, but it is genuinely heartfelt. I want to thank my fellow pastors for preaching for me the last three Sundays. And the last time I preached was 4 weeks ago today. It's been decades since I missed three Sundays in a row. And quite frankly, I'm nervous. And probably won't preach very long today because I'm not 100% back yet. So I'm going to like that. Real short. We'll see. But I want to just say it again, thanks to my fellow pastors, and thanks to Keith Fuller, my personal physician, who pushed me to make sure we got the right diagnosis and got me in the right places. And I was just trying to blow that stuff off. I'm fine. And he was insistent that we keep getting tested, that we got it resolved. And then thanks to my wife, extraordinary caregiver. She's been there right by my side every step of the way and encouraged me and care for me. And of course, most of all, gratitude to the Lord Jesus, who is worthy of our worship, our allegiance, our love, our obedience. I'm not back at work full time. I worked half days last week, and we'll just see how it goes. But God willing, the journey back is underway, and please keep praying. And thank you very much. 21st century, and went on to graduate from Auburn and got a PhD at the University of Kentucky. Now teaches at the Lee Scott Academy Spanish. And while he was here, he met and married Amy Chance. And they're here on the front row in front of me with their school-age daughter, Caroline, with Grace, who was just baptized just earlier in this service. As you know, Amy is the daughter of Kenneth and Patty Chance, and Brian's mom and dad are here from Pennsylvania. Ken and Mark, we're glad to have you. And grandparents are here as well, and so great-grandparents and grandparents and great-grandparents. So this is a very special day, and in our last week election, you chose Brian Cole to serve on the Lakeview Fellowship of Deacons. He has been deeply involved in the life of our church since his student days. He's been on mission over internationally with Farmers of Christ, but primarily he has been involved in diverse ways with our children's ministry. And a very committed churchman, and in the providence of God, he was nominated for and elected by this church to serve as a deacon and has been serving since January. And so it's fitting before we set him apart. We're going to do that. I'm going to speak for a few minutes, and we're going to have our current deacons and pastors gather around him, and five of us are going to pray over him and ask you to agree with us as we do that. But before we do that, it is fitting for us to once again look at this passage in Acts chapter 6, which recounts for us the choosing of the very first deacons in the life of the church on the Lord Jesus Christ. So think with me this morning about the work of the deacon from Acts chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. And so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. What we find in this passage of Scripture is the genesis of the first group of deacons. Apparently, when the church exploded into life on the day of Pentecost, recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were converted that day, and the church went from 120 in the upper room to 3,120 people. And there were no deacons. And so from chapters 1 through 5, we have apostles who we would say would be the overseers or the pastors of the church, 12 of them. They functioned in that way at this stage. And there were no deacons. But now we come to chapter 6, and we find the appointment of those who would serve in this role. Now the word deacon is not used here, but the word deacon literally means servant. And the word which is translated in our New Testament in Philippians chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, 8, deacon, can also be translated servant. And so I want you to think with me this morning about the work of the deacon. I want to give you two axioms which spell out for us the work of the deacon. Now, most of you will never serve as a deacon, but nevertheless, it's important that all of us understand what the Bible teaches about the strategic role of the deacon. So let me give you two axioms. The first one is this. The deacon serves the church by guarding the unity of the Spirit. I am persuaded that the primary function of the deacon is to guard, help to guard Spirit in the life of the local New Testament church. What we have here in Acts chapter 6 is the first instance in the apostolic church of dissension and discord and murmuring. The scripture says in verse 1 that the widows were complaining against one another. In the church of Jerusalem, there were widows who spoke Greek. They had come from the dispersion across the Mediterranean world to come back to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and were there still there. And then there were other widows who spoke very Hebraic, widows that spoke Aramaic. And so there was a murmuring that developed in the life of the church. They were complaining against one another. Now, may I say that a murmuring in the life of the Jerusalem church and a murmuring in the life of any church, in the Lady Baptist church, is not healthy. And the adversary would love to create division in the life of this church or any church. It's very deadly. And so it's important that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we maintain unity and harmony in the life of the church. And so we find here in verse 1, when the number of disciples was increasing, that is, more and more people were coming to faith in Christ, the Grecian Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because the Grecian widows who spoke Greek, they thought were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. And so the 12 gathered all the apostles together and said, it's not right for us to elect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. And so they asked them to choose people to oversee this ministry. Now, don't think of deacon as a table waiter. If you read some of the literature, some folk will say that deacon is a table waiter. I want to suggest that's a stretch. It's not that deacons can't wait on tables or apostles for as far as that goes. But think about this. We already know at this stage in the life of the church, there were over 5,000 members of this church. I mean, this church is starting from nothing and exploded in size. Now we have a wonderful food ministry here at Lakeview. And every Monday people come in and receive food from our church. And I can tell you it's staffed by far more than 7 people, and they're not feeding 5,120 people. I can tell you that. So let's not just think of deacon as a table waiter and these 7 men took care. No. Of course, not all of them didn't get food, but nevertheless, I want to suggest this morning that these deacons functioned not so much as table waiters, but they functioned as problem solvers, conflict resolvers, and unity keepers. I have long believed that when the church has deacons who serve together in harmony, there will never come into the life of the church any kind of split. Now, any given day of the week, there's going to be somebody who's unhappy with something about something that's going on in any church. I understand that. But as far as having a church split, I believe if the deacons and the pastors can be together, one in harmony, you're not going to see a split come into the life of the church. Now, every year we elect deacons. We have 12 deacons and 9 pastors, and every year we have 3 deacons who rotate off, and 4 who rotate on. They're elected by the church, nominated by the deacon nomination committee. And when we have our first meeting in January, I remind them of their awesome responsibility to guard the unity of the Spirit in the life of the church. And I say to them something like this: as a deacon, you are going to be a person that people will come to when they're unhappy or discontent. They'll come to you when they perhaps won't come to me or Brother Cliff or one of our pastors. And you have a responsibility to listen, to give respectful attention to anybody's concern or complaint. But remember that you, as a deacon, you have an extraordinary ability to create harmony or to facilitate increasing division. And in your hands are 2 buckets. In one hand is a bucket of gasoline, and the other hand is a bucket of water. some disgruntled member comes to you, you can use the bucket of gasoline to inflame the discontent and make it worse, or you can use the bucket of water to try to resolve the discontent, resolve the problem, and create harmony. I want to suggest that one of the ways that God's grace, we've been able to do this over these years I've been your pastor, is that all of our recommendations are unanimous. And that doesn't mean that your deacons are rubber stamps. They're not. They're men of God. And for many decades, we've had men of God serve in this capacity. And you don't have to come to the meetings to hear the discussions that take place. No, that's not the case. In most matters that your deacons and pastors deal with are what we would call routine matters, but sometimes some very weighty matters come in. And in recent years, we've had a couple of matters that have taken us sometimes 4, 5, and 6 months of meetings to find some common ground. But it has been amazing to me, and I've said to our interns after some of our deacons meetings, you young men, I don't know if you know what an extraordinary privilege it is to sit here and watch these pastors and these deacons who have such sharp differences of opinion about the matters that we've been discussing, speak to one another and discuss with one another with the most Christ-like, humble, gentle spirit. And I pray that when you become a pastor someday, you'll have that same kind of privilege to work with men as I've had the privilege to work with. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so don't ever take for granted that you're part of a church that has not been characterized by division now for many, many decades since there's been division in this church. And a great deal of the credit goes to the 12 men who serve as deacons at Lakeview. Now, let me just give you quickly what happens at deacons meeting. We meet once a month. We usually meet for about 3 hours. Sometimes it goes about 3.5 hours. Typically, the first 45 or 50 minutes is given over to sharing gospel witness encounters that we've had since we met the previous month. It always starts with the pastor, next the chairman of the deacons, and we go around the room and everybody shares some of their gospel evangelistic personal witness encounters. If you haven't had any, you just say pass. I'm telling you, it is very rare for anybody to say pass. These brothers are faithfully sharing the gospel of the grace of God. After that, we probably spend 40 or 50 minutes in prayer. Then we do our scripture memory verses, and then we take a break. We come back, and there's usually some book we're reading together that we're discussing. Currently, we're discussing the Baptist Faith and Message, our confessional statement, and a book about that. And then that takes about 2 hours for all of that to take place. And then what typically deacons would do in a typical Baptist church takes place in the next hour. What we would call the business matters of the church that need to come before the deacons. And so, you know, I confess to you, when I first came as your pastor, that was not always the case. And I just assumed back 36, 7 years ago and not go to deacons meeting because it was pretty rough. But now deacons meeting is one of my favorite things of the month. It's like a mini revival meeting to pray with these men to hear how they are sharing the gospel of the grace of God. And so these men are committed to guarding the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And as you pray for them, and of course, Brian, you've already been serving now for a few months. You've seen this up close and personal. As you pray for Brian, our other deacons just pray that they would maintain that these men help to solve that problem. In fact, if you'll notice down in verse 5, the proposal that these men be appointed to do that pleased the whole group. That's the church in Jerusalem. And they chose these 7 men. And verse 6 says, they presented them to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. And we're going to do that for Brian before we're done today. Verse 7 says, the end result was the word of the Lord spread. And more people came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Grecian widows were satisfied, and the Hebraic widows. because we're satisfied, and a church split was diverted because of this action. So the first action is they can serve the church by guarding the unity of the spirit of the church. Now we have the second action. They can serve the church by guarding the pastor's time in prayer and in the Word of God. Let me repeat one more time. The deacon serves the church, the local church, by guarding the pastor's time in prayer and the Word of God. We begin in verse 2, 3, and 4. So the 12, that's the 12 apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would be not right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. It's not right. It's not that it's beneath the apostles to wait on tables. It's just it is a diversion of their primary calling from God, which is the ministry of the Word. And so they said, brothers, in verse 3, choose 7 men that must be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And then verse 8, we're going to turn the responsibility over there in verse 4. And we the apostles, give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Those who are called to be pastors are called to preach the Word of God. Now, if we fail here, we fail. Of all the things that I, as your pastor, do, the primary way in which God uses the pastor to bring health and life and vitality to the church that he serves as under shepherd is through the ministry of the Word. There are people on our pastoral staff who are more gifted than I in counseling, who are more effective in praying. They're better personal soul winners than I. They're better administrators than I. And I rejoice in the giftings that God has given to them. But the one thing that as your pastor I must do and I must not fail to do is I must, when I come to this pulpit Sunday by Sunday, I must come with a word from God. And to fail here is to fail. And when I first came as your pastor 37 years ago, I said to the pastor's search committee, I said to the deacons at that time, I said to the church, then you can find someone to stand in the pulpit who is far more intellectually capable than I. Someone who is more articulate, someone who is more erudite, but you'll not find someone who will work harder from between Sundays in the Word of God, seeking the mind of Christ and the Word of God, and who will come before you with a word from God. I made that promise and I've kept that promise. So when I come into this pulpit Sunday by Sunday, I come to you not with my opinions or ideas, but just simply to open the Scriptures and say to you, thus saith the Lord. Now, that would not be possible unless I have been given time to study the Word and to pray. And that means there are blocks of my week I set aside for counseling. There are blocks of my week I set aside for study. Blocks of my week I set aside for teaching. And the blocks of my week I set aside for administrative matters. But the majority of my time is spent in the study. In the study of Scriptures, seeking the mind of Christ, so that when I come before you on Sunday, I will have for you a word from God. And the deacons know that, and they understand that. And if that day ever comes and I cease to do that, and the deacons have my encouragement and my blessing to say to me, Pastor, you're getting too busy doing other things that others can do. You need to guard your time along with God in the Word and in prayer and in preparing to open the Scriptures to the people. The health of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ rests in great measure upon pastors understanding their God-given assignment and deacons understanding their God-given assignments. And so with thanksgiving to God for the privilege of being your pastor and working with the deacons that I've worked with across these many years, we come now to set apart, lay hands on, and pray for Brian Cole. chosen him. You've not chosen him for wrong reasons, but for honorable, Christ-honoring reasons. You've chosen him because you've recognized in him that he is a young man, a man who has a heart for God, and who is deeply involved in the life of our church. Let me just read to you the requirements for deacon service at Lakeview, which were adopted. I don't know when they were adopted, but they were in place when I came as your pastor, so sometimes prior to 1979. Weren't always followed in those early years, but they are today. These are the requirements for deacon service at Lakeview. Brian Cole fulfills these requirements. Number one, confess to be a born-again Christian with a personal knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior and living a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. Two, read and accept the scriptural basis for deacons prescribed. 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 12, when I just read a new deacons are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. And then there is nothing against them. Let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. The deacon must be the husband of a one wife and must manage his children and his household well. That's from Paul's first letter to Timothy. Three, support by faith and action both the adopted Lakeview Baptist Church covenant and the Baptist faith and message. The covenant is how we behave and live together. The confession of faith, the Baptist faith and message is our theological confession of faith. Four, be age 25 or older and have married the husband of one wife. Six, commit to tithe of the church program and stewardship. Six, support by prayer and participation the entire church ministry, Sunday school, Sunday morning and evening worship, midweek services, and other ministries as far as able and good faith and conscience. Seven, assume without reservation the responsibilities, obligations, and opportunities expected of a deacon. And then eight, have been a member of Lakeview Baptist Church for at least 1 year prior to the time of election as deacon. Well, Brian Cole meets those requirements. The deacon nomination committee discerned that. Sent him the questionnaire last fall, asking to pray about standing for election. He did. He was nominated, and you chose him. And now we come to lay hands on him. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you to just come and sit back on the second step, and so you can put your feet on the floor there. And I'm going to invite all of our currently serving deacons and our pastors to come gather.